welcome to episode 101 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents, Elizabeth, Laura, and Lindsay. We've talked before about the iconic city of New York. If you're a theater buff, like a few of the Outlander agents and their families, Hamilton may have convinced you that it's the greatest city in the world. And I was going to sing that, but I decided not to.
We'll sing later, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. We might be singing all through this. Well, it has a lot of competition, but it definitely ranks high on the list. Elizabeth and her family visited again recently and got to see Hamilton. And since there is so much to see there, we know there must have been some things we left out in our previous episode. So this week, we return to the Big Apple. Let's get started. Do you guys know why it's called the Big Apple?
So I looked at the notes ahead of time because you asked us to proofread them for once. And so I actually did. And I've never heard that story. And it's kind of a lame story.
Yeah, it is. It's a marketing ploy. That's what it is. Yeah, that's basically what it was. It like in the 1800s or something, they kind of called it that for a little while. And then it went away. And then in, what was it, like 1970s? Mm-hmm. They brought it back with all the jewelry and the t-shirts and stuff. I remember my dad going on a business trip and bringing me apple earrings when I was a teenager. So, yeah, not a great story.
But there's no real reason for it. It was just
originally,
marketing.
It was like a bunch of, it was horse racing originally.
Yeah,
like
some
it originated.
Sports guy coined the term.
For no apparent reason.
Yeah.
And ironically, it was at one time called New Orange when it was under the control of the Dutch.
Oh!
So, long, long time ago. So, yeah.
So the Big Apple's better, I guess?
Yeah, I guess. Better, I suppose. Yeah. So and the history of New York is really fascinating. And actually, we've talked about those books, and now the author's name escapes me. I'm reading the one on Paris right now. Is it Rutherford?
Edward Rutherford.
Yeah, and he's written one. So he's written London. He's written Paris. Mm-hmm. He's also written New York. And New York, I think it's just called New York, actually.
Yeah, it's always just called
City. And the history of New York is really amazing. And it probably is one of the, you know, as big as it is, it's one of the most valuable cities in the United States, and we treasure it, but I don't know if we really understand exactly how important that harbor was. It was the capital of our, if you watch Hamilton, you'll know it was the capital of our nation for a while. And it was one of the other only places during the war that stayed under British control. That's how much they cared about it. I mean, they definitely sent troops to hold New York.
Just to kind of throw in a little bit more Hamilton geekiness. Do you feel like, I mean, because you had made this comment that it was like a love song to New York City. I really think it is.
It is. And, you know, a lot of Broadway musicals have love songs to New York City. I think Laura can attest to this as well. I mean, I think one of the biggest ones is from Annie. Yes.
Yep.
NYC. And they dance around and they do the whole.
That wasn't in the movie.
Yes, it was. It absolutely was. Yes, it's a huge number in the movie. Yeah.
Wait, is it the way
it's when it takes her out to the movies?
To the movie theater.
You
know?
Yeah. So yeah, about many of them, and even Hard Knock Life has, you know, and the reference to the Chrysler Building. There's a lot of Laura. You have another one that comes to mind.
New York. I mean, New York. If that's not from.
Yeah. And then that classic musical Seesaw, which I think you worked on as well.
Oh yes.
That has a terrible tribute to New York City in it. But it's called My City. It's my city is like a beautiful woman. Beautiful, that's good. It's, oh God, it's awful. It's really awful.
What about Rent?
Rent is definitely, yep. And actually, Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote another tribute to New York City, which is In the Heights, about the Washington Heights area. So you
didn't know you were getting this kind of
podcast
tonight.
It's not about New York City people. It's about theater. We tricked you. So we can talk about Hamilton, because I think that's one of the, you know, main reasons that people are drawn to New York City right now. And it's sort of a revolutionary show. No pun intended. It really is. I mean, I think it's comparable to a show like Rent in the way that it has sort of changed Broadway.
Yeah.
And it's bringing audiences in like never before. It's better than Cats. I would see it again and again, but, it's seriously, all ages are in that audience, despite the fact that it's a quote rap musical. It's very well constructed. Very
so give people, if people, I mean, people know who Hamilton is, but just kind of give a brief.
Although I would venture to say that unless you've read the biography.
I don't know why he's so important.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know about him. And I have to say, I've been in New York City many, many times, and hearing Hamilton's story, whether you go see the musical or whether you read the book or whether you just read the Wikipedia article on him before you go, it's not a bad idea because he actually influenced a lot more of New York City than you think. And it can really enliven your visit to the city. And there are actually tours now that are basically Hamilton's New York City, where they take you to a lot of the key sites, including...
Is it quiet uptown?
It is quiet uptown. We went uptown. We went to Dylan's Candy Bar, and that is uptown, and we got off the subway, and I turned to my husband. I was like, it really is quiet uptown. And then that's all we sang for the rest of that. Yeah. Hamilton is also one of those things. I've had several people ask me, well, how did you get tickets? And now that pretty much all of the original cast has left now, the ticket prices have dropped, especially resale. People who bought them thinking that they were going to sell them for five times what they paid for them are now ready to dump them for much less. Now, I will still say it's still an expensive ticket. Don't expect it to be cheap, but it is comparable to what I paid for Book of Mormon a few years ago, or, you know, and it's completely worth it. The audience reaction to that show, being able to see it performed live, not everything is on the soundtrack. So if you've got the soundtrack memorized, there's still bits and pieces that you would, you know, that you get to experience. Yeah. So I highly recommend it if you can. Now, I will say the tickets to Hamilton for my family of four cost us, you know, 2/3 of what the whole trip cost, meaning 2/3 worth of the rest of the whole trip. So we almost doubled the cost of our trip.
Yeah. My dad surprised my mom with tickets to Hamilton, and they went, like, they were at my house about to get on the train the next day, the night that the Tony Awards were on. So he bought them before that. Probably not before they were nominated for all the Tonys, but he said that was the most he'd ever paid for tickets to anything. And he goes to, like, the Steelers games.
It was for a while.
Sandy.
Did you see how I did that? Did you see what I did?
It was almost impossible to find a ticket for less than $1,500 a few months ago.
Yeah.
One ticket. Yeah. So unless you did the lottery on Wednesdays, or my sister actually stood there in front of the theater one night and waited and watched StubHub, and somebody with a single ticket, like 5 minutes before curtain, suddenly put it up at face value, and she was able to get it.
See, now that is when you have the leisure to stay.
If you're a business traveler, if you're going for business and you're there by yourself and you have a free evening, I mean, it doesn't hurt you to stand in front of the theater for, you know, 30 minutes or so and see what happens. And single tickets are really hard to get rid of. So, and incidentally, it's even worth going to the box office to see if there's a single ticket, because sometimes one will get left over somewhere. And so sometimes when a show is pretty much almost sold out, if you're willing to sit by yourself.
Good tip for solo travelers.
Yeah.
You can get sometimes better picks of seats too.
Yes.
Last minute, because there'll be a hole somewhere.
Yep, exactly. I've gotten third and fourth row that way.
Nice.
It's possible. And then if you really want good, now mind you, what I paid quite a bit of money for those seats, and they were pretty far back. It's a small theater. No, there's no bad seat in the house. We were worried because we were really far right, very far right, like we were on the right aisle. And we were worried that we would have an obstructed view. There was like a little corner of the stage that we couldn't see, but as we exited, but there was never anything happening there. A lot of the top level was used for characters not appearing in this scene to add voice to the music. So they were basically acting as a chorus. But as we exited the theater, we walked through some of the boxes that are like right beside the stage. And honestly, there was a box that was right on the stage pretty much. I wouldn't have wanted to sit there. You wouldn't have been able to see anything that was happening sort of above and behind you. Mm-hmm. So we got a really nice view and a lot of the lighting effects and everything. And, you know, it's done on the turntable if you know anything about it. So,
your kids are ages,
10 and 12.
10 and 12. So yeah.
They listen to the soundtrack nonstop. Yeah. And nonstop.
And this is the ode to Hamilton. This isn't the New York City episode. This is the ode to Hamilton.
So, but in New York, you can be a new man. So,
it's gonna be like 25 minutes of Hamilton. Yes, like exactly. 5 minutes of New York,
and everyone who loves theater will tune out because we're so terrible at singing.
So, I do think it's iconic, and I feel like this being an election year makes it more so for me because it was such a tumultuous time in our history and things were really changing. And I kind of feel like we might be at a point like that, not to get too political on the podcast, but it feels like that, you know, and it's very, it's just moving to me. I love that.
Well, there's a line in it that always gets a big cheer, and, you know, politics aside, and I know we have people who fall on every side, but there's a line right in the Battle of Yorktown where Lafayette and Hamilton, both of whom were immigrants, although Lafayette technically was just visiting, but say immigrants, we get the job done. And mm-hmm. it always gets a big cheer from the audience. And so there's definitely timely. And even though it's set in Hamilton's time, a lot of statements are made about the suffragettes and about sort of predicting the future, you know, because right. it's got sort of a modern feel to it. He is very free with sort of talking about where there's a line in, you know, when Aaron Burr is running for president, he's like, ladies, tell your husbands to vote for Burr.
So you know, you could have a beer with him.
Yeah, yeah. You sort yeah. of, you know, you definitely hear it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well,
go ahead.
If people are not in the musical theater, there's lots of other great options that are cultural for kids that they might, you know, enjoy. You know, there's Lincoln Center. I remember as a child, it was a huge deal. My grandmother bought tickets to see Swan Lake there. Mm-hmm. You know, so if your kids are taking ballet, there's where the Rockettes are, Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff going on. There's Ziegfeld Theater, which is a really old, beautiful theater. There's often incredible movies and older musicals there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Madison Square Gardens where there's often big productions done.
Concerts,
that don't always
yeah.
lend themselves to Broadway. So yeah. I just think there's, you know, opportunities for folks to, you know, who may not, who think, well, I want to go to New York, but we're not really into musicals. Right. You know, which as much as I love them, it's like one of those, oh, you're not, you know, there's incredible things happening there that, you could, take, you know, younger kids there and really enjoy, introducing them to something that might inspire them if they're not as much into musical theater.
Yeah. My son went on a school trip and he did the Rockettes and, there was a kind of dinner theater place. I can't remember the name of it. Oh gosh. I'll have to think about that. But then that was really fun. It was like a Jekyll and Hyde dinner place. Very touristy, I think, but he loved it. And they were there at Christmas, so they got to see the tree all lit up. And yeah, really, really cool. And they watched Elf on the bus on the way up there. So when you think about like not just musicals, but movies, think of how much is in our culture from New York City. That's what when I went to New York City the first time, I just felt like I was stepping into a movie. Everything felt like it was a set, you know, just walking through Greenwich Village, the brownstones and stuff that just looks like it's not real. It looks like a TV
show. And it is pretty much everywhere in New York City has been the set of a movie or a TV show. I mean, mm-hmm. it's pretty hard to go around. You may not recognize all of it, but pretty much all of it has. So, and that actually segues to, there's lots of different opportunities to do tours. And your travel agent can help you find the right one. There's millions. There's food themed ones. There's drink themed ones. There's theater themed ones. And there's like the Hamilton one that I just talked about. And one that we did, because my son is a superhero fanatic and the rest of us are kind of nerdy too, was a superhero tour. And it started at a comic book store near the Empire State Building. And it actually didn't, it was a walking tour, but it only went a few blocks. But in those blocks, we saw the church that's used in Daredevil, the TV show. There's an underpass that was used in Gotham several times. And my family recognized it. I don't watch television. So, but that overpass is actually, if the overpass part, if you're under it, you're in Gotham. If you're over it, you're in the Avengers. That's where that huge battle takes place in front of Grand Central Station. And it's right there. In fact, they painted the light posts there red because they were green. And because of all the green screen work that was done, the light posts would have disappeared. Uh-huh. So they asked the city of New York if they could paint them red. And the city of New York said, yeah, we'll paint them back when you're done because they need to be painted anyway. And they're still red because it's the city of New York. Yeah. So, so it actually, you can imagine the Hulk crushing cars right there. It's exactly what it looks like in the movie.
So cool.
Wow. Yeah. So, and then right around the corner from that is the Daily Planet. And that building is super cool from the 1977 Superman movie where, you know, where he walks, Clark's pushing up his glasses and he walks out through the turnstile.
Uh-huh.
That whole Art Deco building is exactly as it was, including that huge globe. I had my picture taken in the lobby. Uh-huh. There's that huge globe that hasn't been redone since like 1945. So it still has the USSR. And everything is really Art Deco. So even if you didn't like Superman, which, please don't talk to me because we have nothing in common. But even if you didn't like Superman, then the Art Deco is just that like 20s. Mm-hmm. But then when you go outside, you can see where Margot Kidder was like hanging off the helicopter. And I mean, it's exactly what was in the movie. Exactly. Oh. There's Ghostbusters tours that cover both the new and the old sites. So if you're a movie buff of any sort, unlike the Hollywood tours that seem to focus on, you know, where does Jennifer Aniston live? This is much more about, like what you've seen in the movies.
That's like a set tour. Lindsay, you've been to New York, right?
I was several times, but I was really young and I need to go back now. But, I went when I was younger and did all the touristy things, and I can't really remember much of anything other than, fishing in, Rochester
or somewhere, somewhere out there, somewhere outside the city.
Fresh pennies from the Empire State Building and from the Statue of Liberty. But other than that.
So did you get, you went to the top of the Empire State Building?
Yeah, I don't remember it. Okay. I know we did.
So Laura, have you done the Empire State Building and the top of the Rock?
No, it's interesting because I spent lots of time in New York City. Lots of time. I've never been to the Statue of Liberty. I've never been to Empire State Building. I was a big Sleepless in Seattle fan. And that's one of the big reasons I want to go up there.
Yeah.
I've never been to Top of the Rock. It's like a lot of the touristy things, like you were saying, I haven't done. Because my grandparents lived there. So it was more.
Yeah.
I went to visit them, and I think they didn't think about that. You know, we went to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I saw Barnum and Bailey Circus in the Madison Square Gardens.
5 years. So we would just go.
I took two groups of high schoolers there. And we went over to Central Park and saw, you know, John Lennon's, you know, near John Lennon's.
Strawberry
and Beetle. Actually Yoko Ono was out walking.
Oh.
And, you know, I don't think she's known for her overly outgoing personality, but she, you know, walked right by us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids wanted to do a carriage ride and they did that. One of the kids wanted to go see, what was the name of the movie that was around HIV? Angels in America is the name of it.
Yeah, that was actually a show.
The series on HBO.
Yeah.
Is that it?
But they wanted to go see something iconic to that. The kids actually went, and it wasn't after 9/11, but it was after the World Trade Center. And they went by train and got like pieces of the World Trade Center. But we did a couple of shows. We did Les Mis with them and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat because it was a church group. And we stayed at the Edison, right? Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
And they just loved being right in the middle of Times Square. We took them to Carnegie Deli.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big kind of meal out thing, was to take them to Carnegie Deli. And Tavern in the Green was just kind of winding down at that point. And one of the kids' parents had proposed to the other in Tavern in the Green. So we walked by that to show them that. So
did they reopen it, though?
Oh, it's there, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so tell me about Times Square, because I have been to Vegas and Hollywood Boulevard lately, and I don't like this whole I'm gonna take a Hello Kitty costume out of someone's closet from 50 years ago and wear it in the street. So is it like that kind
of thing? I mean, I guess one could say, well, if you compare it to the Times Square of 20 years ago, it's actually kind of awesome, because 20 years ago Times Square was a very different place. It was all very adult themed, shall we say. Now basically it's a lot of stores, including a Disney store and an M&M store. They actually just closed the Toys R Us that was there, and they've been excavating. They're finding stuff underneath it, which is kind of cool.
It's because it's so old.
Yeah, it is. But you know, that's where ABC is. So Good Morning America, when you saw those people standing outside, that's Times Square.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more mainstream and safe.
But did you see the Naked Cowboy?
There's definitely characters, and we didn't this time, but I've seen them before. There are characters in Times Square for sure, and that's in every sense of the word. I mean, there are people who are characters, like just, you know, personalities, and then there are people who dress as Spider-Man or whatever. The thing about those folks, and if you go and you really don't know what you're in for, you might want to warn your kids ahead of time, because honestly, these guys are kind of aggressive, and the idea is that you're going to take your picture with them and give them money for that. They're there to make money, and they're actually quite aggressive. So,
and they make sure you don't. If you get their picture, they're going to be
And they're not above scaring your child. I mean, I've seen it happen way too many times. So just, you know, make sure, especially when your kids are used to Disney World and they're used to sort of the fun characters, and even, you know, these guys look nothing like the actual Disney. Well, they look something like
the
them,
Mickey will be missing an eye.
Yeah, you can tell that they're not the real deal. But and even like Spider-Man and the Hulk, that was, you know, it was really shocking for my son when the Hulk actually sort of came at him. You know, I think there's that sense of humor about what kids are okay with is not okay. You know,
they're not trained.
They're not nice people necessarily. Yeah. Some of them may be very nice, but. In general, yeah.
Yeah.
It's scary. So yeah, we stayed in Times Square the last three times. And the first time I did that, I did it because I grew up going to Long Island to see my grandparents, and I never got to do that. You know, we would go into the city for a day, mm-hmm. but I never actually got to stay in the city. I was like, I'm going to stay in Times Square. And it was good for the, you know, for what we did. We went to go see Book of Mormon, and we took the kids to the museum. We went to Central Park. So it was very, you know, very touristy trip, but in a very short one. The second time we stayed in Times Square, we were there for one night. We were going to see Aladdin, and then we were getting on a cruise out of Bayonne. So we stayed in Times Square again, actually closer to, we didn't stay in Times Square. We were actually closer to Bryant Park. But we were still pretty much in the middle of everything, just around the corner from Times Square. This time I got a really good hotel rate at the Westin in Times Square. And again, it was fine. The hotel is beautiful, but my kids were like, you know what? This is too crowded. I don't like it. You know, and especially my son was just like, I don't like all these people. And that was exacerbated by the fact that now my sister lives in New York and lives in a quieter neighborhood. She doesn't live uptown. It's not that quiet, but she does live in a quieter neighborhood. And so when we would go visit her and then we would come back just, you know, a few blocks, and you know, two subway stops, and it was a totally different world. We went from basically a neighborhood to, you know, New York City. Yeah. So it was just a little overwhelming. So I do think that having a central location is good, especially if you have a short trip. But if you're not afraid of the subway and of transportation, or if you don't mind walking a bit, it's worth it to stay a few blocks away to have.
Did you guys do like a subway card or anything like that?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did an unlimited.
Talk a little bit about flying in. And why you made a good decision.
So yeah, I got lucky. When we were cruising a couple years ago, we flew in and out of Newark, and I had never done that to go to the city before. I've pretty much actively avoided Newark because, you know, people actively avoid Newark. And so we did fly in and out of Newark because it was easier to get on this. You know, I was like, we'll go into the city, we'll stay for a night, and then we'll come back and take the ship, and then we get off the ship, we'll fly out, and we'll be right there. And it was great. And Newark is a fine airport. It's not the world's best airport, but it's no Schiphol, but it's definitely, it's a fine airport. Mm-hmm. So this time I was looking at options and I thought, you know, Newark is running a little bit cheaper. It was easy and it probably won't be as crowded. So that's what I'll book. And sure enough, 2 weeks before we went, suddenly LaGuardia is under construction and people are literally leaving their rental cars a mile away and walking because the traffic isn't moving.
Yeah, so don't book
LaGuardia right now. And even JFK is having some problems. So honestly, Newark is not, I mean, again, not the, but we could take the train. There's a train station in Newark.
Yeah.
It's not difficult at all.
I would never rent a car in New York City.
I wouldn't advise it either. Yeah. I mean, even if you don't mind driving in the city, then you have to find some place to park and it's like $50 a minute or something. You laugh.
No, I believe it.
What I just paid to park in LA for basically an hour while I, you know, printed off some stuff at the office and went and ate at Chipotle was ridiculous. So I think I paid $24 for an hour.
Wow. Yeah.
You paid $50 to park downtown Seattle.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, Raleigh's not so bad, right?
No, Raleigh's not so bad.
Well, you know, I found out on our flight back from San Diego, or my flight back from San Diego, the woman I sat next to, her new son-in-law works at the Disney Studios in New York City. I didn't know there was a Disney Studios in New York City.
I think they do film some of the television shows there.
Yeah, she said a lot of the superhero movies you're talking about.
Uh huh.
Yeah, they're filming there.
Yeah, that's actually
he's had a new head of security for there.
That studio is in Queens. That studio. So yeah, because they were actually saying we asked everybody on that superhero tour always asked the guy where's the shawarma place.
Yeah.
If you've watched the end of the Avenger that movie, and he said it's actually a pizzeria in Queens, and that wasn't originally scripted, but they were all headed back in costume after that battle scene. They were all headed back to Queens, and they stopped in this pizza place and basically decided to do the scene. You know, so why they picked surely they could have found a shawarma place, but apparently this pizza place had the look that they wanted. So. It was funny because my son was like, oh, I'll go there then, because he doesn't really want to try shawarma. It's not cool enough. But then once he found out there's a pizza place, of course we didn't go because it was out in Queens and we didn't want to go that far out. But.
That's awesome. So kids, good. It's good for kids. That's the consensus that we have.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I didn't take my kids when they were super young, but they're going on school trips now. And liking it.
Yeah, my son requested to go out to the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. I mean, I think it really ties into the history that you learn in sort of late grade school.
Yeah.
And Hamilton. And so, you know, he's just become a real history buff. I don't know which came first, Hamilton or his love of history, but it does seem to be pretty tightly wound together. And he was fascinated by the tour, probably more so than anybody else in our party was. So,
yeah.
You know, I'd been to the Statue of Liberty years and years ago when I was little. And so I begrudgingly agreed to go because he said he wanted to do that. And I'm glad I did. And I'd never been to Ellis Island, actually. So that was very interesting as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if that's where my relatives came in.
Yeah, there's no, Ireland. You know, we were under the impression there were books and thing registries there. There really aren't. Or if they are, we didn't find them. There is a computer bank there where you can do some genealogical research.
I'll have to just ask, like, my uncle or my cousin.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and then click on the podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or just search for Fly Away. And you can also email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Lindsay, Laura, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.